But today, I wanted to look through Psalm 37. And we're going to go through that for a little bit, and hopefully it'll bless you. Psalm 37. So in verse 1 it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb." And I like what God, you know, the rest of verse one is, you know, sounds pretty ominous, or that's not even a word. But evil workers and envious against the workers of iniquity. But God, right from the start, he tells us to what? Fret not. And that word fret means to glow or grow warm or to blaze up in anger. Just don't fret it. Don't get worked up about things of the world. And I translated the word they of my own translation. The things that are a hindrance to us, you know, things that hold us back, things that just get in our way. God tells us not to fret about them, because they're soon going to be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So they'll fade away as we keep going to him. Verse 3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." And that word trust, one of the meanings is to hie for refuge. And it's interesting because the girls were playing Boggle this morning, where you look for words, and one of the words I kept hearing a couple of times, the word high, H-I-E, but I never knew what it meant before yesterday. And what it means is to go quickly. So, you know, when we have things that hinder us, we want to put our trust in God, and we want to do that quickly. We don't want to, you know, try to go up to other sources to get it taken care of. And then verse 4 says, that word fed, it says, "Verily thou shalt be fed." And that word fed is really wonderful, because it's taken care of like a herdman takes care of his cattle, or his, I'm thinking like sheep. You know, he puts them in a place where there's beautiful grass to eat, and water to drink, and shade. So that's how God takes care of us, even way better. In verse 4, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." And that was in one of the manifestations, that we can delight in him. So instead of fretting, we are to delight in the Lord. And I wanted to take a look. Keep your finger in Psalm here. But look at Isaiah 58. And then we're going to start in verse 13 and go all the way to verse 1 in 59. What it says, I hear shuffling going on. "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth," those are the good places, "and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." And this is the verse I wanted to get to. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear." So God's hands, what do you call it when you have short hands and deep pockets? Short arms. Well, that's not God. God has long arms where, and he has ears to hear us. He never is not listening to us. So we got a great God. Where are we here? Verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And that word commit is basically just to commit, do it, practice it, trust in it. One of the definitions was to wallow, like you see a pig wallowing in the mud. He's committed in there, and he's loving it. You know, he's totally taken care of, happier than a pig in you know what. But that's commitment. And then you can keep your hands, keep keeping your hands. We're going to go to a couple of different verses, but keep your finger here in 1 Peter 5. There it is. First Peter 5:7. I lost it. There it is. Well, let's read verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then it says here, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So we want to cast our care on him and humble ourselves before him. That's commitment. Verse 7 says, rest in the Lord. How many people like to rest sometimes? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret, there it is there again. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. And I got a little... I want to read from the ESV, just for those two verses, because they're pretty cool. It reads a little better, I think. Verse 7, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over to the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It tends only to evil. So we don't want to look at all these not so great men or whatever that are prospering in their way or who are not getting it God's way. We want to keep on doing it God's way. Because if we keep looking at that other way, it'll tend us to do evil. And we don't want to do that. Verse 9. Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And notice it says earth and not world. The earth and the beauty of it, like Gennaro prayed about, just this wonderful earth we're living in, and it's a beautiful place. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. It'll be gone. It'll be gone. But, verse 11, the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Who likes peace? Who would like to have peace? Who would like to have an abundance of peace? But that's what we get. That's what we get with God. We don't get it from the things of the world. It might get it for a little bit, but it won't last. With God, it always lasts forever. Abundance of peace, a huge multitude, plenty of it. Verse 12, the wicked plotteth against the just and gnash upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. God laughs at it because God knows the end. And we know the end because we know things in his word. We know that Christ is coming back for us. And this is just going to be, this life is just a drop in the ocean. It's nothing to be compared to it, to when Christ comes back for us. Verse 14, the wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. But look at what happens. Their sword shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. So that's just God taking care of us. He knows the outcome. He knows what's already been accomplished for us. And he always wants to do for us. And this verse 17. These are great. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. So the arms of the wicked are broken. They can't hold anything. They can't hold it up. But God's arms are never broken. They're always ready to uphold us and keep us steady. Verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be what?
Forever.
They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. And that ashamed is not be disappointed. God never disappoints when we look to him and we go to him. And that satisfied, again, is that's having plenty, having in excess. So that's what we get with God. Verse 20. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. Into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. The righteous showeth mercy and giveth because we rely on God and we always have to give. You know, God's always supplying us with what we need when we go to him. And I love this, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered. That word ordered means established by the Lord. And God, he delighteth in it. God delights in us because our steps are established by him, which is very good to be established by God. And you don't want your steps to be established by the things of the world. Alrighty, verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. There we go with God's arms again, his hand. The wicked hands are broken, they can't hold anything, but God's hands are always there for us to hold us up. And in this great verse, I have been young. We were young at once, right? And now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Because God is an ever-abundant source for all of his people. He never lacks anything, and he never wants to not supply us with our need. He is ever merciful, verse 26, and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. He doesn't forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. That's pretty wonderful. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. And this, I mean, you could say this about every verse, but it says, wait, verse 34, on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. And that green bay tree is the laurel tree. The laurel tree spreads itself, it's beautiful, but it's very susceptible to like disease, and it can be gone and wither away in an instant. But that's not us. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but it could not be found, just like the laurel tree, just like the Green Bay tree. It was there, it looked like it was doing great, but now it's not there. Where'd it go? Nowhere, it's gone. Verse 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. And that word mark means to take heed. And take heed to the man that is doing God's will, that wants to serve God, that wants to love God. The end of that man is peace. We all said we needed peace, right? We wanted more peace. So the end of that man is peace. That word peace also means health, prosperity, and rest. And again, that's what we get with God, with our wonderful Heavenly Father. Verse 38, but the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. We don't want the Green Bay tree to be our strength in time of trouble. We don't want the things of the world to be our strength in times of trouble. We want God to do it because he's always on the job. Again, his hands uphold us. That word strength also means fortify. He fortifies us like a stronghold, like a castle that's bared up to withstand pressure. That's what our God does. And then verse 40, this again another lovely, beautiful verse. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they what? They trusted in him. So that's what we got to continue to do, is trust in God. If you want to go to James chapter 3. James 3, and we're going to read verse 13 through 18. See, we all have a choice. We could either do it God's way, go to God, or not. But, you know, from what we saw today, I would rather go to God than look to him. But here in verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying, like they did in that chapter, they were envying what the natural, the men of the world had, and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above, from God, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It's not fake. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So that's what we want. We want that fruit of righteousness and peace. And lastly here in Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs 11. Verse 18. It says, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. And that sure reward from God can't be better than anything we can get from anywhere else. So, that's it. Amen.